Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We watched the Steeler game last night, and there's some things that can be taken from that all-not-too-important fourth preseason game. But I do think that when you look at the quarterback battle, and you look at what's going on, not necessarily at the top, but at the backup quarterback battle, there are some things that came into clearer focus. First, let's hear from Joshua Dobbs. As my computer loads this morning, it's slow. It's like Jim's computer this morning.
Uh-oh.
Joshua, yeah, it's okay, though, now. Joshua Dobbs feels as if, well, I did what I can do. Let's see what happens. Maybe.
Yeah, I think I competed well. At Indy, I know, you know, you always can't control the final decision. So, you know, I just focus on what I can control, my preparation, how I come out there and perform and compete, whether it's in practice or in the game, and how I contribute to the room, and then I go from there.
How much have you improved?
Okay, thanks, Rich. There are no further questions about who the better quarterback is for the Pittsburgh Steelers to back up. I think those have been sufficiently answered.
Yes.
Mason Rudolph is better than Josh Dobbs. Now the question comes into play. What do you do with the quarterback situation? Mason Rudolph is undeniably the number two quarterback. He's more prepared to be an NFL guy, and he's just simply flat out better than Josh Dobbs. Now what do you do?
Because the question is now, is Joshua Dobbs clearly better enough than Devlin
Hodges? Is he a viable
Hodges
guy to keep on the roster?
As a third quarterback to keep him around when he's... You're not getting Josh Dobbs onto a practice squad, okay? You can get Mr. Duck Dynasty onto a practice squad. So, do you get in a roster crunch as you're trying to piece together your 53 over the next day or two? Do you get a trade offer? Do you decide that you're desperate enough for another tight end that you need to be the aggressor in a trade market?
I'd roll with two quarterbacks. I would go ahead with two quarterbacks because here's the thing. If it gets down to Devlin... At some point, first of all, he's not going to get a helmet during the games anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're only going to dress two quarterbacks for games. You're not going to have three in uniform. It's not going to happen. So you're going to have only two, and then somebody will come in and play emergency quarterback if need be. So that's the first part of it. The second is you're never going to trust Devlin Hodges to be your quarterback in a regular game. You're going to have all week. You can go find somebody off the scrap heap. You can bring somebody in and work them out on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And if it gets to a dire situation where both Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph are hurt, that guy's going to be your quarterback over Devlin Hodges. Pete Gonzalez, right, or Charlie Batch or somebody like that will play over Devlin Hodges.
But in a desperate third quarterback situation, I think I'd rather have the guy who at least has some familiarity with the organization and the playbook over
Rando off the street. There never will be one. I mean, if you're in a desperate third quarterback situation, see, I wouldn't go with Devlin Hodges over...
No,
who you could go get, like Brandon Whedon.
Right, so that's my point, is I would rather have Josh Dobbs in place as the third quarterback than having to go get a rando off the street. Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't.
And that's, you know, if somebody comes along and says, hey, we really like this Dobbs kid and we see something in him that we'd like to, I don't know, maybe it's a guy that stood across the sideline from you last night, Ron Rivera, who's trying to figure out a quarterback situation behind Cam Newton. And you always wonder about Cam Newton and his injury status because of the style of football he plays. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. But unless somebody knocks my socks off, and that wouldn't take much to knock my socks off in so much as a trade for a third quarterback, I think I just roll into the season with Dobbs behind Rudolph as my third.
Jim, what would you do with this situation?
You know what? I've always wondered why they've always been, dating back to Bill Cowher, always had three quarterbacks, and I never really understood why. But since you have to deactivate a certain amount of players anyway on game day, you know, what's the difference if you got a third quarterback or you've got like an 11th linebacker that's going to be inactive? I still think though that some of those other guys in certain situations are more usable during a season than a third quarterback is. He doesn't even get any practice reps.
Well, I think Colin kind of struck at the heart of the matter here, though, which is if you get to a desperate situation where both Ben and Mason Rudolph get hurt, okay, and you're rolling into the following week and you're trying to figure out what the hell do we do now, I mean, you got a lot of things going on that you have to take care of at that point, but I would rather go into that situation knowing I had somebody with a great familiarity with the playbook and the organization and Josh Dobbs than having to go out and find that
quarterback. That's truly the question right now. Not who number two is or whatever. Like,
Two's established. It's
Mason
who's three.
Rudolph looked like he was playing for Oklahoma State, not the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. That was his comfortability level. He was out there,
and he's looked like that all preseason.
And the touchdown that he threw, Josh Dobbs simply doesn't possess that ball. He doesn't have that pass in his repertoire. He can't make that throw. So that's not even a question anymore. But I do think that it's really interesting what they're going to do with the number of quarterbacks that they carry. One running back was billed to us as somebody who's supposed to be really, really good. I don't know, though, now. What happens with him? Who he is, we tell you coming up next. Follow us on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Okay, Benny Snell was supposed to be Benny Snell football, but Benny Snell football to this point has been 54 yards on 28 carries.
Yikes, less than 2 yards.
1.9. Run. Benny Snell's really lucky that Edmonds didn't look good last night. Because if Edmonds looked good last night, then I think there'd be more people calling for Benny Snell to not make this team.
And Edmonds, really, overall, for the preseason, mostly because of last night's numbers, not much better. 1.6 a carry.
Right.
So he goes
for minus 10 last night.
Right. We came into this season really expecting it to be Connor, Samuel, Snell, and all three of them being involved in the run game. But I think we've got to back off that at this point and question if Benny Snell has any involvement at all starting week one.
Right. Well, Benny Snell, to me, is going to be one of those guys the Steelers have a big decision on. I don't think that they would draft him where they draft him and then probably cut him. So it feels like what's going to happen is there'll be a lot of weeks where he doesn't get a helmet this year and they use this as kind of a redshirt NFL season.
Or if they decide that his special teams work has been solid enough, they let him run down the field and tackle guys on punts and kicks. But, yeah, I just don't foresee him, unless something changes radically, and knock on wood, it's not injury related or anything like that, he's not getting involved in the run game off the bat.
Right. So there's that, and then there's the receiver situation. Now, Ray Fittipaldo has his 53-man sort of projections in today's Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And you look at the receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster on the team, Dante Moncrief on the team, James Washington on the team, Deontay Johnson on the team. There are your four surefire locks for sure. Then you have Switzer, Eli Rogers, Holton, guys like that. Now, I think when you look at it, Switzer is probably pretty darn near a lock because of what he does special teams. So you count him as five.
I think the only question is that last spot.
Right. Eli Rogers, for me, does the same stuff that Ryan Switzer does, but he doesn't play specials as much. Mm-hmm. Holton has done nothing but looked really good. Am I wrong about that?
He's looked really good. So Deontay Spencer's looked really good, especially in the return game.
For what you got to pay Eli Rogers, which isn't a ton, but you still got to pay him a little bit, for Eli Rogers and what he gives you, and for Eli Rogers and what he doesn't give you at times, I would take a chance. And Holton would make this team over Eli Rogers.
See, I'd have Eli Rogers moving aside, but Deontay Spencer is the guy for me that's really intriguing because of that talent in the return game. And I don't know if he's going to slide through and get onto a practice squad. Guys that have a couple electric plays in the preseason, that gets noticed on tape. That gets noticed around other facilities. And that's the kind of guy Deontay Spencer that's going to get noticed. I don't know if that necessarily means he gets picked up by another team's practice squad if the Steelers release him, but I do think there's potential there that they should keep an eye on, and that would involve keeping him around.
Snell is a guy, though, back to the running back situation, where I think he probably is safe. I think he probably is.
Snell,
but he needs to show a lot of progress in terms of a scout back, a practice back, someone that gives a big effort. I think it's real overblown. Guy's a good special teams player. You can find somebody to run down and tackle people. You can find somebody to block somebody on kickoff return or punt return. Show me what they do positionally.
Well, and I want to see Benny Snell do what we saw him do at Kentucky. And he didn't do it this preseason. When you get, some guy busts through the offensive line because it's a third-team offensive line you're playing behind and gets his arms all over you 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, Break a freaking tackle.
Right. I'm worried about what four people do on special teams, honestly. The snapper, the holder, and the two people that hit the football with their foot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried about those people on special teams. You talk about, well, he gives you a lot on special teams. What can Jordan Dangerfield give you on special teams? Does that break a tie? Go down and tackle somebody.
Yeah.
Really.
Unless you're the guy catching the ball and returning it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just not too worried. I've often thought that's been grossly overblown.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.